Hello, everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. I'm joined by UW Parkside 1994 graduate Gary Smith. Gary has served Parkside Athletics for more than, what is it, Gary? More than 20 years, right?
27 years.
27 years as the voice of the Rangers. So maybe I should redo this introduction. I should start again and go, at guard from Caledonia, Wisconsin, number one, Gary Smith. Nice. How was that?
That was perfect.
Was that? Oh, yeah. That was good. Okay. Well, Gary, welcome. Glad you could take time to be here with us today.
Thank you for asking me.
So how did you originally come to UW Parkside?
Okay. I'm the youngest of four. And so my sister, who is about 9 years older than me, she went off to college at far away. And I have two older brothers that decided to go to a private institution. And I wanted to run my own race. So I went to a public school. I went to Parkside. And it was a great experience.
Okay. Now, when you came to Parkside, did you know that communication was going to be your track? Or was that something that kind of developed after you were here?
Somewhere in the middle, John. You know, I knew that I wasn't going to be a mathematician. I always enjoyed writing. I enjoyed talking with people. Always try to have a sense of humor and, you know, keeping things light. And as time went on, I realized that English and communication were certainly my fields. Mm-hmm. Interesting, though, I thought I was going to be a teacher.
Oh.
And the program at the time was a little different than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took a semester and a half of education classes. Then I had a field experience at a middle school and realized maybe this isn't for me. So, but it was well worth the time invested to know that and getting those experiences and saying, you know what, I think there's other ways I can help teach, but I don't have to be an official licensed teacher to do that.
Oh, okay. Okay. And you've come back to Parkside on numerous occasions when the communication department has invited alumni back to talk to students and talk to classes. And what's that experience been like for you?
I think it's really cool to me. Being a student at the time when we had alumni come in and talk about their careers, it always stood out to me because I knew for a lot of us in the classroom, it gave us a sense of hope, a sense of direction, resolve of what we're doing and the time spent in the classrooms and the sacrifices you're making and the hard work you're putting in that people were landing in careers that they really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And so that was really motivating. So playing role reversal coming in, and, you know, I'm sure I carried my bucket of enthusiasm, but it was genuine to a lot of these college students that, you know what, you're here for a reason. Enjoy the ride. And once you're done, it'd be well worth your time.
Right.
The fact that they had guest speakers come into a classroom, I think, kind of elevates their, you know, just the tone as far as what's going on. But, of course, a lot of them want to know how much do you make and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, but more importantly, you know, what led you to that career path and how did you get to that position?
Sure.
And my thought is, you know, I remember when I was in, I think, in Professor Logsdon's class, and we had a couple newspaper reporters come in. And I thought that was really cool that they did this. And they went to Parkside and they're out there in the field, you know, writing stories about their various categories.
Yeah.
And I remember asking a couple questions. But on this side, a lot of it was, you can tell at their level of excitement and just the opportunities and the possibilities are there.
Yeah. What, I want to get in, kind of go back to that, to your work with Parkside Athletics as doing the PA announcement for basketball. But before we do that, when you graduate in 94, how does your career get going? Before you graduated, did you know that, oh, I'm going to go into this particular, career position, or was that something that sort of evolved after graduation?
Sure. Once I graduated, I thought for sure I'd be a journalist. And I wrote for the Ranger News, and covered a lot of the local sports and our teams and basketball and softball and those kind of things. And the job I had during college, they worked on my hours. And I thought, okay, this is the field I'm going to go down into journalism. And as time goes on, you start opening maybe other opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, Gary, you should go into sales. And I was like, well, I don't know. That's really for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember I applied for a position at a local radio station.
Okay.
And I get a phone call from a general manager of a sign company. He's like, oh, I heard that you applied at the radio station. Well, the radio station and the sign company had the same parent company.
Oh, okay.
All right. So I'm thinking, all right, fine. I'll throw up my hat and see what happens.
Sure.
It was a great experience working in outside sales for the first time. Mm-hmm. And with great freedom comes great discipline. Right. And back in those days, there weren't even cell phones. We had a pager. Remember back in the days you get the page?
Yeah.
But lo and behold, I did about a year into the job. I walk into the office and my manager had his feet up on the table. He's like, Gary, he goes, I'm late for this appointment. Why don't you take it? So he throws me this piece of paper and it's a little window sign for TCI Media Services. All right.
I forgot about the TCI.
Yeah. And so I went out to this office on Bird Avenue in Racine and downstairs from a dentist office. And a couple gentlemen were at the door. And the youngest guy who was in the office, he had to be like 27 at the time. He was the manager. So Tom and I talked about what the sign he wanted, but I started talking to him about what they did. And I was about, they were in television advertising.
Yeah.
And, he took me to 21st Street where another sign needed to be located. We sat in a parking lot and talked for like 45 minutes. Well, a few months after that, I saw in a local newspaper they were looking for an account executive at TCI Media Services.
Wow.
I put my hat in the ring. Tom remembered me. He liked me. We had good rapport. And he took me out to dinner. And when the bill came, he didn't have any money. So I ended up paying for our dinner, which was classic.
Yeah.
And but he hired me, and to me that was the opportunity that really sprung, you know, to what I've been doing over the last 25 years.
Right, right. So you get involved, and for those of you who may not understand the acronym TCI, let me see if I can do this correctly. Telecable. What's the C and the I?
No, it was
the T and the C for telecable?
No, it was Telecommunications Inc. This was before, this happened right after Telecable to TCI.
Okay. Okay.
So I was never part of telecable.
Uh-huh.
But it was always interesting because people would ask, well, I get my TV through my telecable. They thought the actual cable was telecable.
Yeah.
No, it was the name of the company.
Yeah, yeah. And you do that at a time when maybe the idea, especially in let's say Racine Kenosha, because for years people or businesses that are in the Milwaukee market or the Chicago market, they're advertising on television in those markets all the time. But probably a little cost prohibitive for a Racine or a Kenosha business to advertise on a Milwaukee or a Chicago, especially Chicago, television station. But now it's cost effective. They can afford to be on television working through cable TV.
Right. The whole industry has changed so much. And I've been out of there for about 6 years now. But at the time, it was really exciting to have local commercials on, you know, national networks.
Yeah.
And so you can watch an ad for here's Pepsi and here's maybe, you know, another national ad and here comes a local business and then you're back to the football game or, you know, whatever program you're watching. So, yeah, it was a fantastic run. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Did it take some time to convince people or businesses that it could be cost effective to do this? Or once they saw themselves on TV, did it become an easier sell?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it was the shock value of how inexpensive it was because they were geographically zoning these ads.
Yeah.
And so I remember coming back at the time to when I was the county executive talking to Parkside students, and I asked them what the cost of a spot was on, you know, Sunday Night Football, and, $2,080,000.
Yeah.
And we're looking at like $400, whatever it was. Like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, how come businesses aren't lined up out the door to get on television, right?
Sure.
But yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah. And how about from the production side when maybe a company or a business that's not usually doing or hadn't been doing television advertising, what was that process like to get them indoctrinated or comfortable with the production process?
Sure. Now, this is well before digital. And when I started, we were using beta cams.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the old, back in the 80s, did you have a VHS or a beta?
Yeah.
Right. And actually, beta was a superior product, but it was the marketing for VHS that, you know, people bought that.
Yeah.
But so everything was on actual tape. And so we'd go into a business and just kind of do a questionnaire and, you know, needs analysis and put on our creative juices and come up with a local ad. And my producers would always get kind of upset with me because a lot of times I would want that business owner part of the commercial.
Sure.
And it wasn't an egotistical thing, but from a sales standpoint, if they're getting feedback, hey, I saw you on television. Right. That's what we needed for retention, right?
Right, right.
But I understand where that clash came into. But I don't know if you're aware of this, John, but the way I proposed to Marie was through a television ad.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I did not know that one.
The actual commercial aired on March 25th, 2000. And this is the days before DVRs. And so I had to plan it out. I gave it a highest code possible, you know, so it run on a Saturday between like 11:55 and noon. Had to make sure we were both in the front of the couch together. I had made lunch, and I was worried about her getting up to do anything. So yeah. I started stalling and asking her how she seasoned the vegetables. I couldn't remember what exactly I was saying to her, but, you know, inside, you know, the blood's flowing. And here comes this commercial with me talking, with pictures of me, of the two of us.
Yeah.
And at the end, the question comes up with big graphics.
Wow.
And she asked me, is this a VHS tape? I said, no, this is airing live television in both Racine and Kenosha.
Oh,
are you serious? So after that, you know, I got on one knee and did the traditional route. But that was really cool. And
we showed
that clip at our wedding on big screen.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like we were at the Academy Awards. People were clapping.
Oh, my God.
In hindsight, you know, I put that on a news network figuring it was newsworthy.
Yeah.
But I was lucky that nothing major happened that Saturday because there have been no local breaks at all.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah,
but it worked out just fine.
Yeah.
And I only had to air it one time.
Well, yeah, yeah, had to do that. So we're talking with Gary Smith, 1994 graduate of UW Parkside. He just mentioned how he proposed to Marie, and for if you're listening and you're familiar with UW Parkside, you may know that Marie Smith is a Parkside team member here in career and academic advising, and she's been here for what, 15?
2001.
Oh, so as long as I have. Yeah,
yeah. I was thinking
she'd been here pretty much the whole time. The business. So you go from selling cable television advertising to managing the sale of that. How did you see that business changing over the time that you were involved in that?
I spent 16 years with the company, and 8 was in management.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always close to the sale, and I never wanted to be that manager that someone didn't want to take along on a ride because you might mess it up, right?
Yeah.
So you learn from your managers what not to do,
right?
More than, you know, what to do. But we had a great team. I still am in contact with a lot of the reps. We get together like a few times a year here locally.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the changing, the industry changed really, really quick. You know, we went from analog to digital.
Yeah.
And then the online component came in too.
Mm-hmm.
And there were always various products coming in. And with various products coming in, you had financial buckets, right? I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. You had those kind of things too.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. The field is moving so quickly. You're learning a lot of new things really fast. And with new products, sometimes it's, you know, ready, you know, fire, aim.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody wants to get these things out on the street as fast as they can.
Yeah.
So we had some really exciting products there. And I really enjoyed my time with our team. And we reported to Milwaukee every couple of weeks or so forth, too. So we had our own little office here locally.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really fun. And it came to a point where the company was making some changes, and they asked me to stay on board in a different position.
Yeah.
And it was a major decision for me professionally. And I decided to go on another direction.
Yeah.
And but I left on a very high note. In fact, I saw my old general manager for the first time in 5 years, about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And he said to me, Gary, you look younger than you did 5 years ago. I said, I've been out of the pressure cooker for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
He just retired. I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
But to me, I've never burned bridges. Never.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
No. Your integrity, you know, we live in a fairly small community, and your reputation is, you know, everything.
Right. Right.
So I left on a very high note there, and wanted to pursue something a little more independent, where I had a little more control over what I was doing. You know, we have twin boys who are now 12. At the time, they were, you know, 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And so a lot goes into that decision.
Right.
But I never wanted to be, you know, retired or in my 70s looking back and saying, back in 2013, I had an opportunity. I really wish I would have swung. Even if it was a miss, right?
Right.
You took a swing.
Yeah.
And I tell it to my little leaguers all the time, don't get caught, you know, with the strike three
looking. Yeah. So you after Time Warner, and then you move into, you make a, I think a, anybody who makes a decision to kind of be their own boss and go to work for themselves, that's a big decision. And I congratulate you, and you have my utmost respect for not only making the decision, but being successful after you've made the decision. Right now, you're publisher of Windpoint Living Magazine, which is part of the N2 publishing family. And how did that opportunity come about, or when did you first start to think, this might be something I would like to do?
You know, I did a lot of homework, and I looked at a lot of franchise opportunities.
Oh, okay.
And with a lot of the franchise opportunities, actually, I worked with a broker for a little while. And what the broker tries to do is match up your skill set with the right companies. The broker never found N2 Publishing, and we did that on our own.
Yeah.
But going through that process, learning, you know, some of these startup organizations wanted $250,000, you know, just for the naming rights, and that's without any kind of insurance, brick and mortar or products, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I looked at painting companies, looked at different service companies, and I remember looking online at this video about N2 Publishing, and I thought, well, you know what? I've always been solid with business to business. Mm-hmm. I enjoy learning about different businesses and helping them succeed. I always enjoyed writing, so this job would contain some writing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, going back to the conversation I had with my old manager from Time Warner, he said, Gary, he goes, when you sent me that publication, he's like, I remember your evaluations, annual evaluations, how elaborate they were.
Oh.
And I said, I said to Randy, he said, I remember you saying to me, hey, Gary, we don't get paid by the word, okay?
Yeah.
I said,
yeah.
But now I kind of do.
Yeah, I kind of do.
And he kind of laughed at that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I looked at, you know, my strengths, and did a lot of homework with this company. And I did a lot of vesting. And they, you know, they questioned me as much as I questioned them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to training in Chicago, and it was a 2.5-day session. The culture that was there was real. It was very positive. It was empowering.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing like I had never seen. Nothing against what I was doing before.
Sure.
But, I mean, this was like, okay, everything's set in place. If this works, it's because of what I've done. If it doesn't work, it's something that I haven't done.
Yeah, yeah. They had the process.
The process was there.
Yeah.
And the company's been around since, like, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
What really grabbed my interest is that you saw this spike in revenue go up between 2008 and 2010. And if worked for any media company, 2008, 2010.
Not so good.
Flat was a new growth.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
And so you saw this huge curve. I'm like, okay, well, I can do this.
Yeah.
And then talking to people who had, you know, several years in the organization, because you're always waiting for that left hook. Okay, here it comes 3 months in. But I remember going through training. And one thing I remember specifically, and I had a lot of business contacts, so I kind of had a head start a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to one of a larger, it was an auto dealer here in Racine,
mm-hmm.
and I've known the brothers for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him what I was doing, and he said to me, you know what, Gary? He was like, you worked your tail off for us. He's like, you have integrity. Whatever you decide to do, I'm going to back it up.
Wow. Nice.
That was $1 million. I mean, to me, that was $1 million comment.
Right.
You know, from someone who I respect a lot.
Right. You know? Right.
So,
fellow, if I'm thinking that's the correct dealership, a fellow Parkside graduate.
That is truthful.
Yeah.
In fact, we did a commercial shoot here in the theater about a year before I left.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, for a product there, but
and we can say their name, can't we? Why not? It's
sure.
It's Picaro Ford.
Yep.
In Racine.
And Mitsubishi, and also Indian Motorcycle downtown. Yeah. Mark and Andrew.
And his Picaro business is such an interesting story. We were talking about that the other day. We were talking about different alumni, and from how they kind of start out and their growth as a company from having a smaller dealership when they take on Mitsubishi and that's, you know, then to move into the Ford dealership and expand, and they've been extremely successful.
Right. One of the aspects I really like about what I'm doing with Windpoint Living is we do have a business spotlight where a lot of times people are curious, how did this business originate?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember specifically talking with Mark Picaro, how he quit his job at an auto manufacturing institution and opened up his first used car lot on Douglas Avenue. And he remember him telling me specifically, he took the phone from his house, unplugged the jack from the wall, and took it to the office and did that every day.
Oh, okay? My gosh.
And someone said, you know what, you should hire an accountant. And he hired an accountant. The accountant saw him doing this with the phone.
Yeah.
And said, Mark, we can go month to month. If you're missed a payment, we're done.
Yeah.
He said, Gary, that was 30 years ago. I was the smallest client when I started. When this gentleman, when the accountant retired, he goes, I was his largest client.
Yeah.
He goes,
yeah.
But I stayed with him. He was local. I mean, that's yeah. the kind of people they are, though. You know?
Yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, you see those large dealerships in Highway 20 and beautiful building downtown. It started out with one guy bringing his phone back and forth.
Wow.
To me, that's inspirational.
Yeah, it is. It is. So for Windpoint Living Magazine, the magazine is delivered free of charge each month to residents of Windpoint. And because we're on the worldwide Google machine internet web, someone could be listening in like California and not know where Windpoint, Wisconsin is, and it's a smaller community just north of Racine. So N2, do they look at the size of a community that like some communities would be too big to do that, or you're localizing that the news about a particular community, right?
Sure. Things are much more refined now than they were back in 2012. But pretty much it was up to me where I wanted to go.
Oh, okay.
And living in this community for all those years, I always had people ask me, hey, is there a channel that could just reach this zip code of 53402?
Yeah.
Which we couldn't at that time. So, but Windpoint locally has, it's a destination. It's mm-hmm. an actual village.
Yeah.
Anyone who lives in Racine or owns a business, you know, they know where Windpoint's at.
Yeah.
It's a very attractive community.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you've been successful over the years. The publication continues to get more robust each month because I get it each month and I get to read through it. And you've got an interesting mix of advertisers in that it's everything from plumbing companies to jewelry companies to it's all over the board, right?
Right. And you're always looking for the right business partners that really want to brand their name in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very selective in who I contact. And, you know, there's a vetting process for that because mm-hmm. it goes back to the worst thing that happened to me is if, you know, a landscaper goes into someone's yard and tears up that person's house and that homeowner is going to make two phone calls. I do not want to be the recipient of call number two.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I'm protective sure. in that way.
For sure.
The one thing I didn't anticipate with the N2 publishing and the Windpoint Living Magazine experience was the actual feedback from the residents. You always want to be successful for your business partners. You mm-hmm. know, they want the return on investment. But what I didn't expect was the amount of feedback from residents who just said, thank you for doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Thank you for making us feel special by living in this community. Thank you for organizing a pet parade. Oh my gosh, you know, you're creating family members for all of us. And I take those things really seriously and they're really cool. And to me, yes, we're helping the local businesses. At the same time, I've been in houses at Windpoint where they've kept every single issue for 5 years because they're proud of it.
Yeah.
And if they're on the cover, it's framed. It's really cool.
Sure, sure. You know? Well, what, you kind of touched on that a little bit with the pet parade, but the number of events that you do, forget about the publishing of the magazine each month. Are you doing an event? I mean, you're doing an event each month at least, right? Between some of the restaurant opportunities, events that you've had and during the summer, those events, the parades, when you did the films, outdoor films on using Shoup Park Golf Course, you're doing all kinds of events.
Oh, we mix it up. And this is where, you know, I really put my personality out there and trying to start new traditions. I never thought in my life I'd be the MC of a pet parade, but there's certain demographics that are really passionate about their animals. And we've had rabbits, we've had mice, we've had, you know, cats, we've had now plenty of dogs,
yeah,
you know, but every year we do a Halloween party, plenty of wine tastings, restaurant, social gatherings.
Yeah.
We just had our first ever actual Windpoint golf outing.
Right. Which was, from what I heard, very successful.
And you know, it sold out, and we had some good sponsorships with that, so we're building momentum on that. Every year we do an outdoor movie event, and then we have, actually for the first time next week, we have our first Windpoint night at the Racine Raiders at Horlick Field.
Oh, yeah. But for someone who is, we are going to get back to the PA for the basketball game. And we're running. I'm watching the time.
Okay.
But and we're talking with Gary Smith, 1994 graduate of UW Parkside. You do need to be careful, though, or like you said, you did your homework before making that decision as to what path you were going to head down when you chose that business opportunity. That was an important aspect of the success of anyone who chooses to do that, right?
Right. You have to have perspective. And after doing all that homework about different franchise opportunities and knowing what the startup costs were going to be, and then also liability insurance, those kind of things. And then when this opportunity came along, I had that perspective of knowing, okay, at the time there was no startup cost, but mm-hmm. you had to ramp up.
Yeah.
You had to get your businesses lined up. So you have a revenue stream going. I'm like, well, okay, compared to dumping $250,000, sure. I can make the wheel spin a little bit on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think in anything, John, having some kind of history with something gives you perspective, and I think a greater sense of appreciation for what you have today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And without and Marie's assistance and support, you can't do that without her, right?
She was golden. We've been, great for both of us on several fronts.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of her and her business endeavors and top of what she's doing here at Parkside. Yeah. And she's just close to finishing her PhD. And
wow.
And at my end, going down this road, it's been a blessing for both of us. And, she was really supportive.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to be a calculated risk taker in order to, move forward.
Sure, sure.
And not have regret.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good. Well, congratulations on the success. But how do you, 27 years ago?
Yes.
How do you become PA voice of Parkside basketball?
When I was a student, I took a softball class. It was it was taught by Linda Draft.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. And yep, she was the softball coach for many, many years.
Yeah.
And, it was with a few of my friends, and it was probably a nice GPA booster. It was one credit, but it was fun.
Yeah.
And she said, Gary, would you be interested in doing some PA announcing for our softball team? Oh. And the home games were at Petrifying Springs Park.
Oh my gosh.
And there was an old, microphone. I mean, and I remember someone, we brought cassette tapes and, playing music between innings with the cassette tapes.
Yeah.
And then Linda eventually became athletic director.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, would you mind doing the PA for the women's basketball team? So this had to be like 91, 92, I'm guessing. 1991. And I said, sure. Well, basketball was actually better because there was no wind chill. There was no possibly of a rain delay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so did that, and then they needed there was a vacancy for the men's PA announcer.
Mm-hmm.
Could you stick around in case the PA announcer doesn't show up? I said, sure. And slowly but surely, so I ended up getting both the women and men's.
Yeah.
And these are the days before we had a conference. I think we were NAIA at the time.
Oh,
so yeah. A lot of the times we didn't play double headers. It was really scattered.
Yeah.
As far as the schedule goes.
Wow.
And so been doing that now for 27 years and through different, ADs and coaches and so forth too. And I have a blast doing that. I always try to make sure it's professional,
mm-hmm.
but we bring energy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, do not want to be the noisy gong. The actions on the court, don't take that away from the fans by being, over the top.
Yeah.
And I've been in a few venues. I'm like, you're kind of, critiquing what's going on, maybe learning a few things, but sometimes like, wow, that's obnoxious. I never want to become that person.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. And to see the way the direction of the athletic department now is going into.
Crazy, isn't
it? The building looks fantastic.
Yeah.
The new conference is exciting.
Yeah.
One thing I will share with you, and even after 27 years, especially for the first few games,
mm-hmm.
You always want to be organized. I want to know what the pronunciations are, right? You have to have all information.
Yeah.
And at least two or three times a year in the fall, I have a nightmare that I'm entering the DeSimone Gymnasium. The pregame clock is like under a minute. I get to the table. There's nothing there. Yeah. There's no cards, no information. And the clock is, what would you do?
Yeah.
What would you do? I mean, if I was doing a 30 second shot clock or 20, I can get by with that, but you can't. That's it.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. And here's this guy over here. He's what position are you playing? Guard. That guy's going to play guard. Yeah.
Right.
From there.
But like anything else, if you come prepared, you're setting yourself up to succeed.
Sure. So sure.
It's a lot of fun.
So the time always flies by, which is one of the fun parts of the show, and sometimes it's not a fun part because the time flies by too quickly. But I do want you to share with listeners that as the PA announcer for Parkside Basketball, you sometimes you can count slowly, can't you? Your count is a little more one, two,
yes.
Three. And why would you want to count slowly?
There was one game maybe like 8 years ago. And things happen that are out of your control, right?
Right, yeah.
And so it was a tie game. I can't even tell you the opponent. But the clock went off. I mean, we lost power.
Done. Dark.
Dark.
Or, yeah.
And so the refs kind of huddled together. I think there were like 11 seconds left in the game. So they said, could you just manually count down the final 11 seconds? We have the ball. Levante Fenderson is on the court.
Oh, my God.
I think he led the D2 in scoring that year.
Yeah.
And so, all right, whistle in, and I count 10, 9, 8, 7. But I'm counting a little more slowly probably, but I want to be distinctive.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. And so Levante lifts up the shot, the 1 second mark, the shot goes in, we win the game. And a lot of the people in the stands behind me said, that was awesome. Those are the longest 10 seconds in Parkside Rangers history.
Yeah.
I was glad to be a part of that.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that you're engaged with UW Parkside. Thanks for sharing your story about N2 Publishing and Wind Point Living. Continued success with that. Continued success with your family. And now you'll have a doctor in your family. That's exciting when Marie gets her PhD. And we hope you'll come back and chat with us again soon.
Thanks for inviting me, John, and go Rangers!
Gary Smith, ladies and gentlemen, owner, publisher of Wind Point Living Magazine, 1994 graduate of UW Parkside, and PA announcer for Parkside home basketball games. Thanks a lot, Gary.